From June 20th to 25th, the Bush Administration, USAID, the United States Department of Agriculture, and the State Department will be hosting government ministers from 180 nations and transnational corporation representatives to a meeting in Sacramento, California, to pave the way for free trade agreements like the Free Trade Area of the Americas, the FTAA, which means, in concrete terms, the privatization of water, genetic engineering, and major factory farming. These meetings are one of the key stepping stones for the Bush administration and their corporate backers to push through their agenda in the lead up to the next World Trade Organization meetings in Cancun this coming September. Writer and activist Aziz Chaudhry recently described the coming Sacramento meetings as the Bush administration and corporate America's attempt at pushing, quote, its goal to force food and seeds containing genetically modified organisms into mouse and fields across the planet by any means necessary, end quote. Activists and organizers from throughout the world are currently organizing to confront these meetings in the streets of Sacramento, California, for a five-day festival of diverse resistance to biotechnology, free trade agreements like the FTAA, and institutions like the WTO. Currently, there are nonviolent direct actions, marches, rallies, and teach-ins planned for Sacramento. Also in Montreal, a similar mobilization to confront the World Trade Organization's mini-ministerial meetings from July 28th to 30th is taking place. I spoke with Luke Anderson, an organizer with the mobilization in Sacramento, California, and author of the book Genetic Engineering, Food, and Our Environment.
This ministerial hosted by the U.S. government is really an attempt by the United States to gather support for its position on global agricultural development. And the content of that vision of global agricultural development coming from the United States and agribusiness is one involving genetic engineering both of food crops, fisheries and forests, privatization of water, and free trade, corporate-controlled agriculture that drives family farmers off the land. This is essentially what the ministerial is all about. It's extremely important to the United States, in particular because in free trade agreements such as the WTO, agreements on agriculture are widely seen as the Achilles heel. There's been continued failure to reach agreement on agriculture precisely because countries around the world that are signatories to these free trade agreements do not buy the argument that this kind of corporate-controlled agriculture is in any way in their interests. And Ann Veneman, the U.S. Agriculture Secretary, who's hosting this ministerial, who used to also work for Monsanto and was behind the first genetically engineered whole food to come out, the genetically engineered flavor-saver tomato, on the one hand, comes out with rhetoric about how this ministerial is all about feeding the world and U.S. being generous in its sharing of its technological developments in agriculture. And on the other hand, she's very honest in saying that this is all about increasing profits and exports for U.S.-based agribusiness. So to coincide with this meeting, there is going to be a five-day convergence that is going to include a teach-in, speakers coming from the Philippines, from Mexico, from Zambia. One of the things that's been really interesting is that there have been hundreds and hundreds of peasant farmers groups and people's movements from across the global south calling on social movements in the United States to oppose this ministerial and to demonstrate that this ministerial. And so that's really what we're doing. Starting Sunday at 2 p.m., there's going to be mass direct action in the streets around the conference center to disrupt the arrival of the delegates to the meeting and also the unloading of the corporate expo that's going to be set up on that day. And the corporate expo is going to run concurrently with this ministerial. People like Coca-Cola, the big biotech companies like Monsanto, World Bank officials. There's going to be all kinds of different people involved in the sort of inside ministerial. Then on the Monday, the street demonstrations and actions are going to continue with a variety of affinity group-based actions. At 7 a.m., there's going to be a targeting of, based around the theme of U.S. Empire, Inc., targeting the federal building. There's a permitted march and rally in the middle of the day between 10 and 2 p.m. Then there's going to be further actions, outreach to the local community, people's assemblies, and a demonstration at the ribbon cutting, which is taking place at 5 p.m., where Ann Veneman will be opening the technology expo with Shorebeam Corporation cutting the ribbon together with her. Shorebeam Corporation being a food irradiation company.
You mentioned that there is a direct link between global movements of people who are resisting genetic engineering and its impacts on their communities, specifically communities from the global south. Can you speak about that relationship between those who are mobilizing to confront these meetings in Sacramento and social movements in the global south?
It's more a relationship based on solidarity, and they obviously can't jump on planes and fly to Sacramento, but we can living, those of us living here in the United States can travel to Sacramento. So that's really the relationship. There are going to be speakers from the Global South coming and participating in both the demonstrations and also in the teach-in events. A bunch of NGOs are also hosting other kind of events where some of these speakers will be present. There'll be press conferences, that kind of thing. I mean, I think the key thing to get here, and the key thing that the peace movement and the anti-war movement is excited about, is really bringing together the peace movement and the global justice movement. Arundhati Roy, the Indian activist and author, was interviewed recently, and she said there are two ways in which empire spreads its tentacles. One is with the cruise missile, and the other is with the checkbook. And the checkbook, you know, the backroom wheeling and dealing in ministerials such as this one in Sacramento might appear more benign than rifles, bombs, or outright military invasions. But in terms of the impact on people across the global south, they're no less devastating. In fact, more so, 30,000 people dying every single day from hunger in a world which is already overproducing food, enough food to feed 1.5 times the current world population with an adequate nutritious diet. So those 30,000 people are dying every day as a direct result of the economic policies enforced, maintained, and aggressively pursued by the governments of industrialized nations. And so really it'll be interesting to see people standing in the streets, you know, not just hundreds of thousands at the outbreak of a military invasion, but we really need to be taking advantage of strategic opportunities such as this and such as the WTO mini-ministerial that I understand is coming up in Montreal to really oppose empire and all its participants.
Now, you mentioned that there will be representatives from institutions like the WTO or the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, attending these meetings. Can you speak about how these institutions specifically are invoking policies which create this type of poverty, starvation, and displacement throughout the global south?
Yeah, I mean, if we just take a look at the International Monetary Fund, you've got countries crippled by debt. According to World Bank and OECD statistics from 97, so-called third world countries paying $836.2 million every single day in debt to banks in the West, over a third of which is just servicing their interest. And that's a lot of standing around on street corners collecting money for hungry people. Why are they in debt? Because our government stepped into those countries and negotiated with elites in those countries to build inappropriate dam projects. Well, guess who got the contract for those dam projects? Transnational corporations based in the West. We lent them money so that they could buy weapons. Well, guess who produced and sold them the weapons? We did. And now that they're crippled by debt, the International Monetary Fund steps into those countries and re-engineers their economies, tells them that they're no longer able to subsidize basic food products for the poor. They're no longer able to grow food to feed their own populations. Instead, they need to grow cash crops for export to generate foreign income. During the Ethiopian famine, for example, in 1984, some of their best agricultural land was being used to grow cottonseed, linseed, and oilseed rape to be exported to feed livestock markets in Europe. Brazil, by the mid-90s, ranked as the world's third largest food exporter, yet 70 million Brazilians haven't got enough to eat. And this all is all supposed to make sense, you know. And then with free trade policies in agriculture in general, what that essentially means is that the big companies like Cargill, the world's largest food commodity company, they can essentially set the prices for international trade in these big commodity crops. And what sort of free trade means to America is one thing, and what it means to farmers in India or Sri Lanka, for example, is a completely different thing. What it means to the small farmers in India and Sri Lanka is that they are getting less money now for their crops that they're growing than it costs them to produce it. And this is because, you know, a small farmer in Sri Lanka is not able to compete with U.S. agribusiness when it comes to the economies of scale and the massive subsidies that the U.S. gives its farmers. So this is all really a vision of agricultural development that is not hunger-reducing. It's hunger-inducing. It is not meaning that people who don't have access to food get access to it. It is keeping the poorest people of the planet under the heel of empire.
Now, this WTO mini-ministerial in Sacramento coming up is one of the first WTO meetings within a G8 nation since the 1999 WTO meetings in Seattle, which were effectively shut down by massive protests. People are organizing actively to confront these meetings, to organize direct actions, as you mentioned at the opening of the meetings. So can you speak about how the state and the police have been reacting to this mass mobilization of solidarity with the people of the Global South who are experiencing these policies that you talked about?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to mention that this meeting in Sacramento isn't actually billed as a WTO mini-ministerial. The one in Montreal definitely is billed as a WTO mini-ministerial. However, it is, as for the reasons I mentioned before, very significant to the whole WTO and indeed FTAA process because the U.S. really needs to gather support for its position on agriculture. So this meeting is really a sort of a big effort by the U.S. to gather that support, and it's no coincidence that it's in the run-up to the WTO ministerial in Cancun this September. So what we're doing in terms of preparation is you know, we're definitely facing a lot of scaremongering from the security agencies involved in this ministerial. The police, for example, have been going on TV with 200 of them firing some of their new toys, rifles which shoot these canisters containing pepper spray, which explode on impact with the body and douse people in pepper spray. And they were doing this on the television channels, you know, shoot 200 of them with 200 of these guns, shooting at human targets, sort of, you know, human alike likenesses of human targets. So this is the kind of thing they're doing. They're sort of saying they're going to crack down very severely on any illegal protest. The only legal part of the demonstrations is the rally that's taking place, the rally and march from 10 till 2 on the Monday. The rest is all illegal. So definitely there are some challenges there. It's been very difficult to rent spaces, and things like that have been made very difficult as well in Sacramento. But, you know, they have a lot more experience. They're better prepared. They, from these last few years of protests in the United States, they're better prepared at how to disrupt it. But we're also better organized as well. And so we'll see what happens.
You've been listening to an interview with Luke Anderson, author of the book Genetic Engineering, Food, and Our Environment. Luke Anderson is an organizer with the current mobilization in Sacramento, California, to confront the Bush administration, USAID, the United States Department of Agriculture, and the State Department, who will be hosting government ministers from 180 nations and transnational corporation representatives at a meeting in Sacramento from June 20th to 25th. To get more information about the mobilization, visit www.sacmobilization.org. That's www.sacmobilization.org. Or email info@sacmobilization.org or call 916-497-1111. This interview was produced for CKUT Radio in Montreal by Stefan Christophe.